Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Re'eh, we have 6 Divrei Torah. A quick overview over the Parsha, and then we'll get to our Divrei Torah. So the Parsha starts out talking about bracha and klala, blessing and curse. If we adhere to the Torah, Bezrat Hashem, bracha. But if not, the reverse, it will be klala, it will be cursed. Then we talk about the sanctity of the land of Eretz Yisrael and various things of korbanos and altars, mizbechot, those are altars. Chukas Agoyim, when Klal Yisrael is in the land of Israel, be sure not to copy the rituals of the Canaanites in the land of Israel. We talk about the Ir Hanidachas, which is the wayward city, which means the majority of the people in the city were worshipping Avodah Zarah. The entire city has to be destroyed. And we also talk about Maaser Sheni, one of the tithes that is taken during certain years of the Shemitah cycle. The produce is brought of that tithe up to the city of Yerushalayim, eaten in Yerushalayim, and alternatively, if you are too difficult, it's too far away for you to bring everything up to Yerushalayim, you're too distant away, too much to carry, you can sell the produce, bring the money up, and use the money on food products in Yerushalayim. We are going to start out at the beginning of the Parsha, Dvar Torah number 1. Actually, I've used this in the past and love it so much, I'm doing it again. So the Pasuk says as follows, Re Anochi Nosen Lifneichem Ayom Bracha V'Klala, I am putting before you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bracha and klala, there is blessing and there is curse. If you adhere to the Torah, Bezrat Hashem, it is bracha, tremendous blessing. Otherwise, it is klala. And the Sforno says as follows, that there is nothing in the middle, meaning there's no mediocrity, and that is not something that we should strive for. We have either a choice of bracha or klala. These are two extremes, two opposites. And if we don't achieve bracha, then inevitably and automatically that will lead to klala. So we have to strive not to be in the middle, not to be mediocre, but we always have to strive to be great, to accomplish, to be in the category of bracha, because if we're not achieving bracha, unfortunately, the only alternative to that is klala. We are now moving forward to number 2, v'haklala. We are right after that in the psukim, Perek Yud Alef, Pasuk Chavches, v'haklala im lo tishmu v'sarta min aderech. If it's a klala, when are you going to have the klala, the curse, if you don't adhere to the Torah, that's lo tishmu. And in addition, a second condition is v'sarta min aderech, you go off the path. You don't act properly, you do improper actions. So the Malbim focuses on the following. When it comes to bracha, you achieve bracha simply by asher tishma'u, if you hear, if you listen. If you listen to the Torah, that will cause there to be bracha. It doesn't say that you have to act well, you have to do the mitzvahs in order. Asher tishma'u, the listening of itself, will get you in the direction of bracha. On the other hand, when it comes to klala, it doesn't simply say if you don't listen, lo tishma'u, asher lo tishma'u, then you have klala, but actually more is required to get the klala. It has to be, as we see in our pasuk, v'aklala im lo tishma'u, if you don't listen, and in addition, v'sarta min aderech, you also do actions that bring you up the wrong path. You're on in the wrong direction. And there's a concept explained. It's not only the Malbim, it's the Be'er Mayim Chaim as well. They explain when it comes to doing good, if we have the right intentions and something intercedes, something gets in the way and we're not able to do the act that we desire to act, but we wanted to do a good deed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if it's done. It's done. And the phrase there is the Machshava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarf LaMaisa. He actually counts it as if we did the act. If something out of our control got in the way, we couldn't do it, it doesn't matter. It's as if we did it because the intentions were good. And accordingly, all you need to do is Shmia. If you hear, if you want to do the act, even though you don't do the act, that will bring on bracha, that will bring on blessing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, when it comes to bad thoughts, if you want to do something evil, but you didn't do it, that is not going to cause there to be a klala. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes to the evil, it's going to be more difficult to get a klala. When it comes to doing evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not going to be enough to have negative thoughts. It has to also be combined with v'sarta min aderech, that you did something bad. In the absence of doing something bad, even if you had some thoughts that you want to do something bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes to evil, when it comes to bad, I'm not going to count that unless you actually did something wrong. And I heard from my chavrusa, Yosef Ruhl, Reuben, he explained it as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah wants to stack bracha in our favor. He wants to ensure that we will have bracha, and it's more easy to achieve bracha than klala based on this, because to have bracha, we simply have to have the good thoughts. Hopefully we're doing the deeds. If something intercedes, then there's nothing we can do. We had the good thoughts and we are in the camp of bracha. But when it comes to the negative, it requires more than that. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed desires to give us the bracha, because it's so much easier to achieve bracha than klala. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, talking about the non-Jews and the need to destroy their idolatry when you get into the land of Israel and the like. And then in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Lo ta'asun kein la'Hashem Elokechem. Don't do that to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what the Mefarshim grapple with is, what does that mean? Don't do that. How do we have to act to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Don't do that to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to act in a different way to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe from Kutz, the Kutzker Rebbe, says as follows, when it comes to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't do kein. What is kein? It means don't act with routine. Stam, kacha, regilus. Don't simply go through the actions, the routine. I'm simply going through their motions, coasting through life. That is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. He's not looking for us to be Yotzei. I have to put on tefillin. Okay, check the box. I was Yotzei. I fulfilled the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. I have to be Kovei Etim LaTorah. I have a requirement to learn every day, actually twice a day, in the morning and at night. Okay, I put in a half an hour or 5 minutes or 7.5 minutes. I was Yotzei. Check the box. Shabbos, okay. I didn't violate any prohibitions and I got a good nap on Shabbos and I had my chont and this and that. I was Yotzei Shabbos. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not looking for what somebody once termed check box. Check the box Judaism. That is not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking for. That we should simply be Yotzei. I did it, fine. And that's enough. That is going through the routine. That's simply going through the motions. Don't do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what it says. Lo ta'asun kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for routine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us not to simply go through the actions, but to put our mind, our heart, and soul into the mitzvahs that we do. And it should be with meaning and thoughtfulness and intent and love and desire. And when we learn, it should be because we want to learn. And when we put on the tefillin or do light the Shabbos candles, it should be this is a meaningful act for us and not simply because we need to check the box. That's Lo Ta'asun Kein. And actually, we'll give another explanation of this. And it goes as follows. When it says Lo Ta'asun Kein, don't do this for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kein means that we should not simply copy other people, that they are observing things in Judaism. They have a way that they are acting and doing things, and they're doing it in a positive way, and they have their own motivation. We should not simply copy somebody else. We like what they're doing. We're going to copy what they're doing. They seem to be having their act together and they're doing things appropriately. I'm just going to copy what he's doing. But rather, it has to come from our own desire. We are not here to imitate and act as copycats of others, because that's not what it's all about. That's, again, it's pretty similar. We're just going through the motions. That is not our own motivation and intention, but we are just living somebody else's life. And in fact, there's a famous Gemara in Brachos, and now we're going to explain it in a different way. The Gemara in Brachos says as follows, when it came to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he had the strong view and philosophy that we are here to learn all the time. We're not here to do other things. We're not here to be involved in business and work and the like. We are here to put 24 hours a day, 7 days a week into our Avodas Hashem, into our worship of God and learning of Torah. And it says there that he was successful, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was successful. However, many people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and they were not successful. And based on what we just said before in the second explanation, Lo Ta'asun Kein, don't do things because somebody else does it. You explain as follows that Gemara that many people try to do just like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If he could do it, I want to do it as well. But he was the innovator. He had the desire. He was the person who was true to the cause. However, other people simply just wanted to follow suit, to be copycats and imitators. People like that are not going to be successful. We have to act of our own initiative. We have to have our own independent desires to do things. And we also have to have a little bit of our own directions in life. It has to be a proper direction, but it simply shouldn't be that I want to copy something else. Different people have different desires and needs. and enjoy different things, and that is what we have to do. Somebody may want to learn all the time, and that's not going to be appropriate for somebody else. Or maybe if it is appropriate for somebody else, maybe they want to learn something else. Or maybe people want to donate their time to this charity instead of that. There are many ways that we can be contributing to Klal Yisrael, but it should be based on what works for me and not what works for somebody else. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We're in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, excuse me, and it says as follows: when it comes to the ear on Idachas, with the majority of the town that was worshiping idolatry, so in addition to destroying of the people have to be put to death because it is a depraved society that they're living in. Not only them, but their assets, their wealth as well. It says in the Pasuk, Ve'ez kol shalala, tikpots el toch rechava, and all of their shalalal, the booty, all their assets, the wealth, should be put into the town square and should be burnt as well. And the question that the Avnei Ozel discusses is, why this focus on the wealth that it has to be destroyed? These were people that tripped up in idolatry in Avodah Zarah. So why do we have to also destroy their wealth? And he answers as follows. If you have an entire city that got involved, or the majority of a city that got involved in Avodah Zarah, it is a sign that their values were totally off. It's not going to happen that so many people in a mass are going to be involved in idolatry if their values, when it came to wealth, when it comes to money, financial issues, if they had proper values when it comes to the money, they wouldn't have tripped up when it comes to idolatry as well. So the fact that the majority of the people went off the derech when it came to idolatry, that they were so involved in their money, their materialism, their desires for materiality and the like, and wealth and finances, that they weren't focusing on values in life. And if somebody is so focused on, when it comes to money, they're so focused on that, that is going to get the person totally off of the derech, off of the path when it comes to everything else, including your spirituality. There's only one way that somebody, an entire town, is going to go off and become idolaters, and that's because when it came to wealth, they were totally off. They had terrible values. And that's what's going on here. It was the focus on materiality that got them off the derech, off the focus of spirituality. That's what caused them and opened them up to be going in the direction of idolatry. And accordingly, it's like a midah keneged midah. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing on this punishment. What caused the whole problem? The whole problem was their lack of values when it came to finances, their focus on money. Accordingly, because they are being destroyed as an ear on idachas, because they worshipped idolatry, we are also going to destroy the wealth that caused the whole problem. That is the explanation of the Avnei Ozel. Why are we getting rid of the wealth as well? Because that started the whole problem. When people are only focused on wealth, that's what opens up that they're having zero values in any place in their lives. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and this is talking about the tithing of the produce. It says, Aser to Aser, that you should tithe your produce. There's actually a very famous Gemara on Shabbos, a drasha of Chazal, and it says, why does it say Aser to Aser, that you should tithe your tithe? And the drasha is as follows: Aser, you should tithe your produce. In other words, nowadays we tithe the produce, the truma semaisha. It's talking about meiser here, the giving a 10%. That's done in Israel nowadays, but we apply that also to giving charity, giving 10% to charity. And this is the drasha: when you tithe, then you would become wealthy. And it seems, Aser Bishriel Shitit Asher, give Maiser, give a tithe, 10%, in order to become wealthy. And what we typically understand from this is that when you give away, when you give your produce, when you tithe, when you give charity, that is going to enable you to be wealthy. You have a bracha from giving away. You give away 10%, you will make it back in spades. But the Imre Shefer says this is not exactly what is going on. There's something much deeper going on here, something that really focuses on our values, what's proper values. And he brings the Mishnah that says, schar mitzvah mitzvah, the schar, the benefit that we get, the credit that we get when we do a mitzvah is another mitzvah. Somebody does a mitzvah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives that person the opportunity, mida keneged mida, tit for a tat. I mean, that's a negative connotation. In a positive way, that if you do something positive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the opportunity to do that same thing again, again, and again, and again. So, for example, when it comes to the mitzvah of tithing, if you tithe your produce, The schar of that, schar mitzvah mitzvah, the benefit, the credit of doing a mitzvah is to do another mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the opportunity to tithe more produce. You gave the tithe from your first bounty. Here's another bounty. You'll be able to do the mitzvah again. That is our focus. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the opportunity to do yet that mitzvah once again. So accordingly, we're not doing the mitzvah in order to become wealthy. We are doing the mitzvah in order to be able to do the mitzvah again. But by virtue of being able to do the mitzvah again, we are as a consequence, but not as a goal, not as an end, but a means, we are becoming wealthy. We are becoming wealthy. We do one mitzvah, we tithe. Kadosh Baruch Hu enables us to do another mitzvah, that same mitzvah, tithing. And because of that opportunity to do a mitzvah, we will also have material wealth as a consequence of that. But our focus, again, is the opportunity to yet do that mitzvah once again. Now we're moving forward to our sixth Dvar Torah. Sixth Dvar Torah is talking about Maaser Sheni and the tithing. That is on Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Chav Dalet. And the Maaser Sheni is when you live in the land of Israel, you have an opportunity to tithe a certain years, a certain type of tithe, 10%. And it says, V'chi yarbe mimcha haderech, if you are far away. It's a distant away. Lo suchas eison. You're not able to carry everything. It's a burden. It's heavy to carry all that produce up to Yerushalayim. Ki yirchak mimcha makam. Because you are literally your distance from Yerushalayim. And the Al-Sheikh says something very powerful. He brings a drasha as follows. That's something that you have a desire to do. You want to do it. It's not difficult. You're happy to do it. You don't get tired from doing it. However, in contrast, on the other hand, something you don't want to do is a terrible burden. You're miserable. You don't want to do it. It feels like it's an endless eternity doing that issue, doing whatever it may be. Something you enjoy, the time flies. You don't enjoy it. It is misery. And accordingly, he says as follows, based on the pasuk, a drasha on the pasuk, yirbe mimcha derech. If the distance is far from you, that means shaderech niyeis benecha. It seems that it's so far away. It's difficult. It's a distance away. You're going to do something you don't want to do. Accordingly, in addition, lo tuchal, say you can't bear it. That burden. It's so difficult for me. I don't want to carry it. This is tedious. This is painful. I don't want to do it. That's what it's saying. Ki yirbe mimcha, it's far from you. Haderech, it's far. It's lo sucha leseito. You can't carry it. It's so difficult for you. Why? What's the reason for this? That you're having such a tough, difficult time? And if we apply it to mitzvahs and learning our Torah, ki yirchak mimcha makam, because you are distant. You are distant from the place. What's hamakom? Typically it means a place, but it also means a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If we're having such a difficulty in our religious observance, it's we view it as tedious and painful, it's because we are distant from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's ki yirchak mimcha hamakom. And what we have to do is we have to try to generate that relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's what will ignite the desire to do the mitzvahs. We won't view it as we're distant. It's a pain, it's tedious, but it's something that we desire indeed to do. And just the message, and just how we speak is important, that when we view mitzvahs, when we think about mitzvahs, it should be something not that is difficult. I have a burden, I have responsibility. This is what we talked about a little bit before, Czech Pax Judaism. When we say, I have the opportunity to pray, oftentimes we use the phrase, I need to daven, I need to say mincha, I need to bench, but we should change the language. It's not I need to. This isn't something that is distant from us, that is tedious and a burden, but rather we should say, I have the opportunity to daven, I have an opportunity to have a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have the opportunity to bench and say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the food that I have been given. And if we change it into something positive, initially with our speech, then that will go a far way into coming, into bringing the mitzvah, something that is close to us, not a burden by any means, but something indeed that we should desire to do. Thank you so much for listening.